This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing you our first anniversary edition. We've been on the air for 1 year with this show today. Someone who's been a long-time correspondent of this program and also of my previous show, The Rainbow Report, from Tasmania, Rodney Croom, joins us on the line now. Good morning, Rodney.
Oh, good morning, Doug, and congratulations on your first anniversary.
Thank you very much. It's quite a miracle. It doesn't feel like a year. It feels like yesterday.
Well, but that shows that it's obviously something you're enjoying a lot.
Oh, yes, I am indeed. One thing I'm not enjoying very much, however, is Julia Gillard's latest. She's been softening her rhetoric on a lot of issues compared to Kevin Rudd on mining tax and various other things, but she doesn't seem to be softening the rhetoric on same-sex marriage, does she?
No, she doesn't. Yesterday, when she was asked about the issue on Sydney Radio, she said not only that the Labor Party, as a matter of policy, opposes same-sex marriage, but that she personally, as Julia Gillard, opposes same-sex marriage. And I tell you, the gay and lesbian people I've spoken to in the last 24 hours who are aware of that were just ropeable. I mean, why would someone who is openly an atheist, who isn't married, who doesn't have children, who's in a de facto relationship, who's a groundbreaking female leader of the centre-left, what conceivable reason would this person have for upholding marriage as exclusively the union between a man and a woman? It makes no sense at all.
Well, it has been suggested that's because she's not for marriage anyway, in any shape or form, because she doesn't want to get married herself.
Well, then she should say that and see what the reaction is. I mean, for goodness sake. She's not for marriage herself. Well, that's fine. Does that mean that she should deny it to other Australians? And if she's going to deny it to some, then she should be consistent and deny it to all. Of course, something that she would never do. That, as a personal reason, makes no sense either. I mean, she says that her values are equality, choice, inclusion, and yet when it comes to this one single issue, she's happy to violate all of those personal values. And that really begs the question, is this a personal view of hers, or is it really just highly political and therefore quite cynical?
Yeah, well, I've got a listener, Jeffrey, who's just messaged in. He said, at least those with religious affiliations have an albeit dodgy theological basis for rejecting gay marriage, but I fail to see what arguments an atheist could have once this thinly veiled religious cover is removed.
That's quite right. I mean, Tony Abbott and Kevin Rudd put up those kinds of weak justifications for their opposition to same-sex marriage. They referred to personal faith, or they referred to the link between procreation and marriage, or they referred to, as Tony Abbott does, some kind of biological difference between the sexes that makes same-sex marriage a non-starter. Or tradition, the tradition of marriage being, because it's been that way in the past, it has to be that way in the future. But look at Julia Gillard. Like you said, she's an atheist. She has no children, so surely she can't establish that link between the right to marry and procreation. She's a female leader, so surely she doesn't believe that there's some kind of biological difference between men and women that makes this an issue. And she's the first female prime minister. Surely she doesn't believe that just because there's been discrimination in the past, there should be discrimination in the future. I mean, it just makes no sense. It does look really, really cynical. And if I was a member of the religious right in Australia, I would not take this seriously. I'd be concerned that because she doesn't actually believe what she says.
No, because she's made a virtue out of being a straight talker. But she's also taken the opportunity to soften the rhetoric on a number of issues, whether it's the mining tax, whether it's population growth, whether it's boat people coming on, refugees coming on boats, whatever else it is. She may not have changed the government's position very much, but she certainly softened the approach and softened the language. And yet in this one instance, she's actually hardened up the government's position by adding her own personal weight behind it. I find that very hard to understand.
Well, Andrew Bolt, who's not someone that I usually quote, has suggested that it's precisely because she has softened her position on a number of issues that she needs to appear tough on this one, particularly in the eyes of social conservatives that the Labour Party doesn't want to alienate.
So, in other words, we're disposable.
Yes, not only the gay and lesbian community, but the 60% of Australians who support same-sex marriage. I mean, it's as if those views just don't matter. That they're not really there, or they're not. People don't take those views seriously, even if they hold them. But we know that's not the case because there are 11,000 people, the majority of which, the overwhelming majority of which, were heterosexual, who wrote into last year's Senate inquiry into this issue supporting equality. I mean, obviously those people take it seriously. Many of them were from Melbourne. Many of them would have been from the electorate that the Labor Party is desperate to hold on to. That's the electorate of Melbourne, which Lindsay Tanner has said he will vacate. It's just inexplicable. I mean, often we assume that there are hard-headed number crunches behind these kinds of positions. Policy positions. People in the back rooms who are saying, look, our focus groups show X, Y, Z. But I just can't see it in this case.
No.
Surely their focus groups are showing that the majority of Australians are saying, yeah, look, that's fine. And that only a tiny minority are really concerned and they're not going to vote Labor anyway.
Yes, and the other strange thing, I found it quite a heartening thing, actually. You know, these newspapers often run online polls, and just as you don't take the comments that come up, that people put up online too seriously, because they tend to be the extreme, you don't take those online polls too seriously. So when they asked the question, has Julia got it right or wrong with regards to gay marriage, I was very heartened to see on the Sydney Morning Herald site yesterday that 75% of the respondents said she's got it wrong.
And I haven't seen that myself, but I was told that there's thousands and thousands and thousands of respondents. Not the kind of thing that that sort of our community could organise quickly. It's not like it's.
No, it doesn't appear. It doesn't appear, from what I can see, to be one of those things where either us or the Christians or anybody else have organised a click-in, so to speak, in order to...
It's the genuine response of people who read the Sydney Morning Herald.
So she's called this one wrong, basically.
Yes, she could have approached the issue differently. She could have approached it with a bit more, at least, compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Even if she didn't feel able to overturn Labor policy immediately, she could have at least approached it a bit more sensitively, but... saying that her personal belief is that you and I and a lot of your listeners can't get married is it's offensive and very disappointing from someone who we thought might be a breath of fresh air in Australian politics.
Yes, and in other respects has been. So, you know, there she was, the shortest honeymoon in history with the gay community.
I can only suggest, Doug, that you... make every effort you can to get her on the show, just as you got Tony Abbott on.
I keep asking.
Well, yeah, we'll I think other people in the gay community should also ask her to go on radio so that she can actually explain herself. And so, in particular, she can listen to people's personal stories. And she can see that it's not just an abstract issue, it's not just an electoral issue, that it's about people and their real lives. If she stands for anything, surely she stands for ensuring that politicians understand what people are really going through.
Yeah, well, I've got
Lynn saying that's where she's from politically, that she comes from that background where, you know, personal experience matters. Well, let's put that personal experience to her.
Indeed. Well, I've got Lindsay Tanner coming on my show next week for the middle hour of the program, which was all arranged before we knew he wasn't going to be standing in Melbourne, but I think it's still worth talking to him. And I did write him a little note yesterday saying that if Julia wanted the hour instead, I'd be happy to hand it over to her, but I haven't had a reply to that so far. but we'll keep our fingers crossed that she does turn up on the doorstep at some point. Meanwhile, you're going to be turning up on our doorstep very soon. You're coming to make the case for gay marriage here in Melbourne.
Yes, yet again. the Wheeler Centre, which is a Melbourne-based institute about writing and reading, has a regular lunchtime lecture, if you like, or talk at the State Library. The next one on the 8th of July at lunchtime, 12:45 12:45, I think it is.
12:45 to 1:15.
Thank you. I'll be speaking about this issue, and I'll definitely touch on the Gillard problem, but what I also want to talk about is the fact that Australia is falling so far behind other countries. I mean, just in the last few weeks, we've seen same-sex marriages in Portugal and Mexico City, Iceland.
Even the Prime Minister in Iceland, yes.
Yes, she's married her same-sex partner, something that it might be good for her to talk to Julia about. But as a fellow, you know, a groundbreaking female leader of the centre-left. But with those kinds of changes happening overseas, what's the lesson for Australia? What can we learn? How can we make up for lost time? I mean, you look at all the countries around the world that are beginning to recognise same-sex relationships, or soon will. If there was a World Cup on marriage equality, we wouldn't even make the first round. How can we lift our game? How can we, you know, no longer be play second fiddle to Portugal?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be asking her as soon as she condescends to talk to me, and I have my hopes. In the meantime, thanks for joining us this morning, Rodney, and look forward to seeing you next week when you're in town.
Yep, catch you then.
Thanks. Okay. That was Rodney Croom there from the Tasmanian Gay and Lesbian Rights Group. And as you heard, he will be in town. He'll be giving what the publicity describes as a very special Love and Lust edition of the Lunchbox Soapbox, The Case for Gay Marriage, at the Wheeler Centre Auditorium, 12:45 to 1:15 next Thursday. The Wheeler Centre Auditorium is at 176 Little Lonsdale Street, Melbourne. And if you want to find out more details of the whole series of lectures they're on every day, it's the Wheeler Centre, all one word, WHEELER, wheelercentre.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.